Today on Real Radio.
How did Paul give argument? What was his strength? He didn't say, well, you know what? We've had these fantastic motivational speakers in Jerusalem. They really got us pumped up, and here we are in Thessalonica, and we've got good news. No.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called What Christians Believe. Now, because there are so many misconceptions of what it means to be a Christian, Pastor Jack is explaining the foundations of our faith in this first lesson of this series. It's simply called What If? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
But what we're asking as Christians, and what we're not seeing in the world around us, because in my opinion, the Christian church has been so beaten into subjection in this secular society, is that we sit silent while the world runs us over because we do not know what we believe. And we do not stand up for what we believe because we're not sure about the platform we're standing on. Things have been so skewed and so redefined. But what I would ask, and it ain't going to happen, is that the world that is unbelieving in my God, they don't care about my Jesus, and I'm not going to force them to believe in my Jesus. I would never do that. I'm just asking for what tolerance I extend to them that they would extend back to me. And perhaps tonight, as you were coming to church or getting ready, what was all over the news and all was the big issue today about the Ten Commandments. How the Supreme Court refused to hear that argument about the Ten Commandments being allowed to stay in the capital of Alabama, where that one judge in that one courtroom building put the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments, according to our founding fathers, and it's documented, this is not my opinion, it's documented that it's the Ten Commandments that's the founding judicial institution that our whole system was built upon. Not only that, but Europe claims the same thing. Did you know that? The Ten Commandments. And now America is deciding if the Ten Commandments are legal. Well, in the end, God's going to settle the score, and if you read the end of the Bible, he wins. But everything is pushing to secularize, and now churches have adopted a very neutral political correctness, a redefined tolerance, and in many cases, disobeying Scripture and the very doctrine. You cannot separate biblical doctrine from being a Christian. And so I would think, it's my thought, my human thought, that if we weather this teaching, we'll be much better off in the end, at the end of this series. Some people may come to know Christ through it, I trust. Some people may find out, you know what, after hearing what the Bible says and as going through verse by verse or book by book and finding out, I don't want to be a Christian. I thought I was and I'm not. Well, you know what, I'd rather have you understand that than to live the rest of your life in some sort of a deception when someone perhaps tells you that it doesn't matter what you believe. All roads lead to God. That's not what the Bible says. Well, technically, all roads do lead to God. In the end, all men will stand before God. But there's only one road that leads to heaven. And Jesus said, not Calvary Chapel, not First Baptist Church, not the Methodists or the Lutherans, not the Catholics or the whatevers. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but through me. So to know what the Bible teaches is to know doctrine. And your faith, by the way, Christian, is defendable. Did you know that? We don't have to be afraid. Those of you who are going off to college, I guess some of you are not even, well, you're not even here right now. You already left. We said goodbye to some friends. They've already left. Off to school, off to college. But listen, last Sunday I was talking to Maria, and we know her. She's a friend of our family. She's going off to, it was either the University of California at San Francisco or Berkeley or one of those places. And when I heard that, I love this girl. We love Maria. And I said, Maria, you've got to hang on to your Bible, honey. You're going into a place, they look for Christians. They put barbecue sauce on Christians. They eat Christians alive. It's so liberal, and they expect the Christian to come, and every professor loves it. Oh, here comes a Christian. It will come out in the first few classes. How many of you, just to get the feel of the class, they'll ask, how many of you have certain types of persuasions? What about sexual orientation? Let's get it all out right now in our class, first start of the day. Here we are. How many of you are this or that in your sexual orientation? They're going to talk about it. They're going to talk, and they deliberately wiggle it in right near the end as though it's nothing, like they don't care. And oh, by the way, how many of you believe in God? Oh, that's wonderful, because remember, 90% of the class is going to believe in God. But that professor most often will wiggle his way through to find out which one of those students believe in the Bible, believe that Jesus Christ came and died and rose again from the dead, and that student is marked. Our faith is defendable. We need to know how to defend our faith. Apologetics. You don't have to go to a course to be gifted or empowered to exercise that apologetics, the word meaning to state your defense, not to apologize for being a Christian. I'm sorry, I'm a Christian. I've taken a class in apologetics. I apologize. That's not what it means. To apologize means to state your case. An apologist puts forth his defense for what he believes. Christian, our faith is accurate. You don't need to be ashamed of your faith. Our faith is accurate, and it's a wonderful faith because it's based upon fact. That's a fantastic thing. Our faith is founded upon fact. Our faith is accurate. Our faith is logical. When you study the Bible, it's logical. When you look at the world around you and the observable universe, it's logical. Our faith is reasonable. Our faith is so reasonable that when someone's in dire need or there's a horrible situation taking place, there's only one thing that brings peace and comfort to them, and that's the gospel. Many of you are young, but some of you maybe have experienced tragedies in life, or when someone's passing, getting ready to die. It's the gospel that brings them peace and comfort. Why? It's reasonable. There's something, as we'll see tonight, that rings true to the heart when it's searching for God. And the answer comes, and it's a biblical answer. Our faith results in practical, powerful, purposeful living, because it's a real faith, a faith that is according to the scripture. Jude chapter 1 verse 3 says, Jude said that he found it necessary to write to his audience, to the church, to exhort them to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints, the stability of the faith. There is a rising tide, as we've mentioned, of secularism, but I like to call it secular religions, where it's a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Evolution is a secular religion. Did you know that? It's a belief system. By the way, you may be in here tonight. You may be an atheist. I got news for you. You're a very religious person. You really are. You have a structure. You have some belief method that you cling to. Oh, no, I don't. Oh, yeah, you do. Oh, no, I don't. Yes, you do. Do you have anything that you believe in that you'll argue and defend? If you do, you have a religion. It could be communism. It could be atheism. It could be an agnostic. You could be an imperialist. Or whatever it might be, it doesn't matter. You may be a car salesman. And that's your meaning in life. And you go around and you tell everybody, you need to become a car salesman. That's what you believe. That's become your argument. That's become your defense. It's what you live for. It's your passion. But what is the end of it? See, there's secular religions that would come, and those secular religions have infiltrated what is called Christianity. Is everybody listening? Are you with me right now? Because here comes ushers, guard the doors. Actually, just open them up and let them go. Because you know what's going on in our secularization of the church and of Christianity? We have psychologized the church. What we're doing is we're saying the Bible is good for this and it's good for that. But when your life is really messed up, you need some Prozac or you need this or that. Now, there's a place for that and there's a time for that if you're chemically or whatever the situation is. Don't get me wrong. Some of you may be here tonight and your doctor's giving you that and there's perfect good medical reasons. But there are some people that are in such conviction of the guilty life they're living. They're convicted. They live a life that they know is contrary to what God wants, and they go about trying to find peace and comfort. There's nothing physically wrong with them, but they try to seek out someone who will tell them they're okay. Did you know that's human nature? We all do it. Did you know that? You look so innocent right now. Who do you hang around with? You hang around people you get along with. And it's really nice to hang around people that say, you know, you're a nice guy. Some sweet old lady last week, she was visiting from Montana. And she says, I listen to you. And it's so funny. I hear your voice and now I see your face and you're nothing like you don't look anything like you sound like. And I wasn't about to ask her what that meant. But she was excited, believing in the Bible. It was important to her that she gets the word and she opens her scripture and she studies. She has faith. She's trusting in Jesus. She's growing. And according to what I gleaned in that moment, she knows what she believes in. But there's a secular push in what is called contemporary Christianity today. And this is a tragic thing, but this lady was talking about how nothing brought her comfort in life but the Bible. And there are people that are seeking the help of people who can only deal with the mind and soulology. That's where we get the word psychology. It's psuche, mindology, science, mind study, mind delving or getting into the mind. And you know what? Again, some people may benefit from that, but by and large, the bulk is that the human heart will never find peace. You've been made this way. You'll never find peace until you are connected with the God of all peace. And maybe tonight you're going through a tremendous thing in your life, and you're angry with what you're here, even here right now, because that little blue pill they've given you helps you along. And again, for those who medically need it, that's wonderful. You obey and you do what your doctor's saying in that area. But for some people, you know this is ringing true and you don't like it. I got hope for you. Jesus would say tonight, the Holy Spirit would say tonight, you know what? I want to tell you from my word, God would say, what I want to do in your life and how I want to make your life count. And I want to change your world and make you the happiest you could ever be. And it comes through the gospel. It comes through true biblical Christianity. The Christian needs to get back to the Bible and to know the reasons why they believe, why we believe. Why are you a Christian? Why am I a Christian? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, set apart, sanctifies the word, Christ as the Lord. Always be prepared. Now listen, am I always prepared? The Bible says always be prepared. Are you always prepared? To give an answer to everyone who asks of you, to give the reason for the hope that you and I have. But do it with gentleness and respect. Can you and I answer, should someone stop us on the streets of New York City? Are you a Christian? How would we respond? According to the statistics, 90% of us would say yes. And then the man asked the question, what does it mean to be a Christian? It's not being good. It's not doing good deeds, as one man said. It's not going to church occasionally. To be a Christian, according to the Bible, Jesus says, this is the work that you must do to do the works of God. And everybody was listening when Jesus said it. He said, believe on him. You can almost see him, can't you? With his hands. He said, believe on him whom God has sent. Speaking of himself. To trust in him. To lean upon him. Luke chapter 24, we see this happening. Luke 24, verses 13 to 15. It was just after the resurrection, early on Sunday morning. And as two of the disciples were on the road to Emmaus, they're walking there, northbound out of Jerusalem. It says, now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together about all these things that had happened. So it was that while they were conversing and reasoning among themselves, that Jesus drew near and went with them. And the Bible there goes on to say in Luke chapter 24 that Jesus explained to them more perfectly who he was out of the Old Testament scriptures. Jesus used Old Testament doctrine to give them the answer. Acts 17, verse 1. Now, when they had passed through whatever the name of that place is, Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. By the way, that city's still in existence today. You can fly there. It's one of the oldest cities in the world, there on the Aegean Sea, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as he was his custom, went into the synagogue and for 3 Sabbaths, that's 3 weeks, reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating to them that Christ had suffered and risen again from the dead, saying, this Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ. How did Paul give argument? What was his strength? He didn't say, well, you know what? We've had these fantastic motivational speakers in Jerusalem. They really got us pumped up, and here we are in Thessalonica, and we've got good news. No. He said, the Bible said Jesus would come and die on the cross and be risen from the dead. Paul's strength was the scriptures. You say, well, Pastor, if I go out there and say the Bible says, people are going to laugh. People will laugh. I got news for you, and I'm sure there's a room full of people here that will attest to this being true as well. They'll only laugh for a while. You want to know how and why we know that's true? Inevitably, some difficulty will come into their life. They will come to you when no one's looking. And they're going to say, what was that verse you said a couple of weeks ago when I laughed at you? My man came to me when I worked at Baxter Healthcare in Newport. And I was a Christian. And I was bold about that. And the guy would laugh and make fun and joke and all that stuff. And, he was a jerk. I mean, he was just a jerk of a guy. He was mean, and, you know, he was king of the hill. He made fun of everybody. He was it. And, you know, when people make fun of somebody, you know, just they got problems. They're trying to cut everybody down to where they're at, you know. And he was a mess. And I would, you know, the Lord just, you feel for somebody like that. But I don't know what I was feeling that day when he said, he came in, he looked upset. My wife left me. We've been married, I don't remember how long. I don't know. 10 years, my wife left me. And in a moment of inspiration, I said, what took her so long to leave you, you know? Look at you, you say these things, you're this way. And people will laugh. But they'll come around. The Christian's great to poke fun at. You know? The company goes to the happy hour thing, and there's the Christian. He's got his Pepsi. And you got to go. We had to do those things. We had brown bag seminars we had to go to. And maybe you're in a corporate thing, and you've had to do that. You got to go to the brown bag seminar, they call it. I don't know why they call them that, but they have a corporate thing, and they got the, you know, they're have their little martini deal or whatever. And there's the Christian. He's got his Pepsi. And you know what? There's nothing worse than some Christian to be there with his Pepsi. Have you ever been there? You ever see what happens? You ever been a Christian at a party and you're especially family and they're all tanking up, you know, hey man, come here. What? Have a beer. That's okay. I don't need it. Come on. It's okay. Well, okay. I know it's okay. I don't want it. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Have you noticed? Have you ever seen this happen? No, it's okay. I got my Pepsi. And you could say, I'm not thirsty. That doesn't work. They will not let up. You want to know why? Think for a minute. Come on. The whole room's drunk. Everybody's drinking. You're standing with your Pepsi, and there's one guy going, come on. No, I'm fine. This Pepsi's fine. Drink it. Take this Budweiser and drink it. Yeah, I don't want it. You know what's happening? As silly as it sounds, it's driving him crazy that you're not crawling down to where he's at. And he would love to get where you're at, but he's not there and he doesn't know how to get there. And in that moment, what are you going to tell him? You're going to go to hell, you beer-drinking fool. You don't tell him that. That's not how you win friends and influence people. Say, you know what? And if this is the case, of course, maybe it's true for you. Or you might say, you know what? Hey, look, you know what? I used to do all that. I used to be just like you are. And I'm not saying that anything is righteous in and of myself. But, you know, I don't need that anymore, man. I don't need it. I don't have to have it. Jesus made a big change in my life. You know the world, church, listen. The world is starving to hear that. You young people. Junior high, high school, the pressure for sex. I remember never hearing the gospel, but I remember in high school wishing and hoping that somebody would stand up on campus and make a stand. Hey, you don't have to have sex. You can be normal and not have sex. You can be normal in high school. You can be a football player, or you can be whatever in high school and not be a drug addict. And I saw guys like you did perhaps in football and right in the middle of the football field, in the middle of a game on a Friday night. 16, 17, 18 years old, pulling drugs out of their socks and taking them in the huddle. And that scared me to death. I wasn't a Christian. And I think God's grace just protected me from doing drugs. But I tell you, maybe I was a coward. I don't know. But I'm sure glad. But man, I tell you, in other areas, I was so incredibly weak, and I would have loved to have somebody stand up on campus and say, hey, listen up, you don't have to do this. Because everyone's saying to your son or your daughter, you've got to do this to be normal. What's wrong with you? And then when that happens, and then you go to church on Sunday, and everybody looks so holy and pious, the wool's being pulled over somebody's eyes. But a church that never addresses such things, it begins to inoculate people against the truth. And they begin to think, you know what? I can sleep around. I can do drugs. I can do all this stuff. I can be just like the world. And I can also be going to heaven. What a cool thing Jesus is. And that's their understanding of Christianity. And it's not true.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study quite simply called, What If? It's the first lesson in this topical series called, What Christians Believe, and if you'll stick with us, I think you're going to love every minute of it. We're just getting started, and there's a lot more to come, so join us again as we continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just recently, Pastor Jack concluded his series through the Old Testament book of Joshua. Now, if you missed it or you missed any part of it, here's the good news. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you the entire series all on one MP3 CD. That's Pastor Jack's entire series through the book of Joshua, all on one MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio. You're going to love this whole series on the book of Joshua. Just get it for yourself on MP3 CD, or maybe somebody you're thinking of could use it. Why don't you get it for them? Simply visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And you'll know right where to point and click. It's real easy. realradioactive.org. Or if you'd like to call us, we'd like to hear your voice at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.